Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk about pets, baby. Let's talk about ticks and fleas. All the fun things that we see. Smart tips and tricks guaranteed.
Hey, pet friends, welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk About Pets. I'm your host, Nethy, the mythical beast of pet safety, rising from the depth to warn you about summer's sneakiest dangers.
And I'm Echo. You've probably heard me before.
Together, we're here to remind our listeners that the sun's out, the heat's on, and we want to make sure your pets don't turn into hot dogs, literally.
That's cute.
So, you want to give us a little sneak peek? What are we talking about today, besides obviously hot dogs?
We're talking about hot cars and heat strokes.
Yikes. So actually, I know some people think I'm a myth, right? But trust, heat stroke is real.
It is real. And it's not great. Well, last time we hung out, you told the story. And I love this story. And I thought our listeners would really enjoy it. Can you tell that one about the man without shoes? I love this story. It has nothing to do with hot cars or heat stroke or anything. I just think it's funny.
I am in Florida, so this was obviously the summertime. You know, people go shoeless here. It doesn't have to be summer for people to be shoeless in Florida, but I think it'll make the story make more sense.
This is a very Florida man story.
One day, while I was teching in the back, we have these things called nurse appointments, which is something that the technicians just come and grab the dog, take them to the back and either like clip their toenails or give them a Bordetella vaccine, something like that. So like the easy stuff that they don't have to see a doctor for. And so Grace, who is one of our very good friends, me and Echo both are very fond of her. She's working reception and she calls me up front and tells me there are two dogs. I think they were here for nail trim. So I walk up to the lobby and there is an older man just with his two dogs barefoot in the lobby sitting there. And I said to the man, "Oh, that's a bold choice going with no shoes." And because I wanted him to know that I peeped the circumstance. And no, we don't have a sign on our door that says no shoes, no service. So, I mean, technically we couldn't do anything about that. And he goes, "Well, I think I have them out in the car. I just didn't really feel like I needed them." And I was like, "All right." And so I'd sit the dog and I went to the back. And while I was in the back, he asked Grace for some paper towels because his dogs had peed on the floor. And Grace handed him some paper towels and he proceeded to put the towels down on the pee and put his bare naked foot on the paper towel to swirl. And he like splat and went on there like a nice sound when his foot hit the wet paper towel so that he could swish it around. And then hand the paper towels to Grace to get rid of. She gave him some spray to disinfect the floor along with some more paper towel. He sprays the floor, once again drops the paper towel down, smacks that foot down on top of it, and goes over the...
Well, at least he kind of disinfected his foot, I guess.
I guess. That's not personally my file. I wrote even around my own house. Like, I hate being barefoot. I don't even put barefoot in my house. Yeah. I have slippers. I actually have on my husband's slippers right now.
Do you really? Do they fit well? Were those ones that you wore to the Halloween party?
No, those ones were the leather ones. These ones are more suede. He has a cup of pair. Yes. Same size, though, you know, just insanely large.
Are they comfy? Is that why? Okay.
Yeah. Mm. The heat dissipates fine because there's nothing touching my foot anywhere.
Oh, yeah. It's true. You got less space in there. There's plenty of room for activities.
I have another story that I would like to share with you that happened not this past week, but the week before. We had a relief veterinarian, Dr. Jonna Bowles. I'm in a room with her, and we have this long-haired, kind of younger man with his dog. Wonderful guy. Super nice. Love this dog. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a good time interacting with everybody in the room. We're all just kind of laughing and having fun about the dog or whatever. I go to leave, and he asked the doctor. He said, "You know, my male dog, he's neutered, but frequently he gets bricked up. And like, it's like throbbing and pulsing, and then I have to be like, put it away because I get uncomfortable and I'm worried that something's going to happen." And he says, "Why is he doing that?" I had made it through the door because I knew that I could not be there for the conversation. So I got laughing on my way to close the door. Like, there was no hiding it. And the doctor thinks that he's talking about his dog being constipated. And so she's trying to evaluate why this dog might be constipated until she realized that is not what the Kippy Days mean by bricked up. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. She got there eventually, though.
She did get there.
Right? I hope so.
Yep. So then when it was back to me, and he was done with his appointment, and I was walking him back up to the front to get him checked out. You know, I don't hold my tongue well. I said, "You know, that's the first time anyone's ever referred to their dog as bricked up." And he said, "Did I say that? I'm so embarrassed." And I was like, you should be. You definitely should be.
Oh, it should be.
But I'll have you know, I now have a fantastic story that I'm going to tell many times in the future. And he was fine with that. He laughed about it. And he was like, "Yeah, that's fair."
How interesting. Huh.
I love weird interactions. I live for them.
The one thing I will say about living in Florida is that, like, the Florida man is real. I know that that's a media thing. Like, I'm telling you, it's a real thing. I don't know if it's just because it's hot down here all the time or what, but, you know, I mean,
all the brain cells, yeah.
It's very hot. Like, our summers can be absolutely brutal. So how often, as working in a regular, like a general practice, how often do you actually see cases of heat stroke at your clinic?
We have only dealt with a few.
Oh, great.
It's very rare. I think that they mainly wind up going to an emergency or something like that.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think they often come to general practice for that.
I've only seen one case of heat stroke when I was working in GP. This was up in Michigan. And I was in my groom room and I was just bathing a dog like normal. One of the technicians rushes in. She goes, "Get out of the tub." And I look at her and she's got this huge bulldog in her arms. So I just pick up my dog and I get out of the tub. She starts, you know, hosing this dog down with warm water. And I was just like, what's going on? So that's when I learned about it for the first time. I feel like it is much more rare in the north than it is in the south. But I mean, I think at this point, I think that everyone knows that, like, leaving a pet in a hot car is very, very dangerous and it can cause heat stroke, which can become fatal. But I wanted to talk about not just why that's a problem, but also about other things that can happen to introduce your pet to heat stroke and kind of how we can prevent our pets from experiencing this oftentimes fatal event.
My husband, he has a newer truck. And when we take the dogs anywhere in his truck in the back seat, it tells him that something in the back seat. And if we pull up somewhere and he cut the car off, he gets like all these blinking reminders.
My car does that. Yeah. Yeah. And it's really nice just in case you forget. So there's a website that I looked at this week. It's called noheatstroke.org. And it has a bunch of statistics on, like, vehicle heating and safety. And on that website, they have statistics that go as far back as 1998. So it's like been a really well-studied subject for several decades now. But this website says that the temperature inside of a car rises about 19 degrees within the first 10 minutes. And then it can progress to 43 degrees within an hour. So we were talking about this last week. We now have a few listeners outside of the U.S. So to put that in Celsius terms, a car is going to rise over 10 degrees Celsius within the first 10 minutes once a car is off. And then it progresses to almost 24 degrees Celsius in an hour. If it's an especially hot August day, like today, it says 87 degrees, but it feels like 94. So let's say it's 94 degrees outside, as it often is, which is about 35 degrees Celsius. If I get out of the car, leave my dogs in the car, in 10 minutes, that car is 113 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 46 Celsius. In an hour, that's 137 degrees or 59 Celsius. Like, that is dangerously hot. So it said that whether it's 70 degrees outside or 100 degrees outside, the amount the heat rises inside of the car is roughly the same. So it's going to be, you know, 19 degrees hotter within the first 10 minutes.
At work, I am freezing from the air conditioner. I know. Poor, pitiful me. I work in air conditionings. But I get so cold that when it's time for my lunch break, I go and sit in my sweltering hot car. Yes. And try to defrost, but I have to have the door open because if I got in my car and shut it, I would die. It was just, my car interior is black. So even with the sunshade up, it's significantly hotter inside the car. So I got to have the door open. But I don't want to get in my car and crank the air conditioning. I'm trying to defrost. By the time I come back in from lunch, my face is like red and flushed because I've now gotten overheat from sitting in my car for an hour.
Yeah. When you jump from extreme to extreme, like that'll definitely happen. This website also has studies that show that leaving the car windows cracked makes less than a 3-degree difference. So actually, the bigger factor, they said, was the color of the upholstery and the material it's made out of. So that makes sense. And I feel like here in Florida, I feel like we would see a lot more cars that have like a tan or a light gray interior. But my car is black as well. Now, I don't have leather, though. So my car has, I don't know, fabric. Now, when I was in Michigan earlier this month, and my sister-in-law's car, she has a brand new Honda, and it has black leather seats, which you can have leather up there because it's only hot for like 3.5 weeks.
My seats are leather.
Black leather seats in Florida is crazy hot. Like, I sat in her car and I was just like, oh, I think my legs are burning. Like, it was so hot. But I never get that problem in my car.
So I put the sunshade up that blocked the windshield. And so it doesn't get the direct sunlight in.
Yeah.
I'm not burning my hands on the steering wheel, which is black.
Yeah.
I'm not burning my legs on the car seat. That, like, if I didn't have the sunshade, I'd be doing the, like pulling the Michael Jackson in the car and doing one of his dance moves, you know?
I don't know what material the steering wheel is covered with, but like, I don't feel like my steering wheel has ever been too hot to touch, even in like dead of summer, July, August. So that's really nice. Like, it's super different from what the website says, the degrees of in the car when it's a lighter, more fabric upholstery rather than leather and a black color or a dark gray even. But if you want to learn more, definitely check out that website. There's a lot of information on it. It's a really interesting read. So highly recommend it. Again, it's called noheatstroke.org.
K-N-O-W or like N-O? Like no heat stroke or like know your heat stroke.
N-O, heat stroke.
Okay.
Like, no but more.
Red X.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, I think we should go ahead with our first review. I know that we are not focusing solely on cars, but cars are part of it. And so Echo had this great idea you want to tell.
Our review theme today is going to be the founders of different car companies.
Wow. Wow. We like founders.
Wow.
Perfect. Also, the stuff that I looked up for our reviews is anything that you could use to cool your dog down during the summer, or also pet car riding safety products, since there's some car element to it.
Oh, nice.
A little bit of What is, who's our first review from?
First review is going to be from Henry Ford.
Our first product from Henry is
Henry
Zone Lie Dog Cooling Mat. Small reversible cooling pad for cats and rabbits.
Oh.
I have one quick question about that. My cat does not want to lay on a cooling mat. So I don't know. I don't know why a cat would and why a rabbit would. Anyway, that's beside the point. So I have a 5-star review here for this mat from Henry. Are you ready?
Henry's really liking this mat.
Called Top Quality.
So
you don't very often get to share 5-star.
Mm-mm. No, I'm really excited.
Yep. This cooling pad is top quality. This is the second one I have bought. This one is for my grandkids because they kept stealing the pad from the dogs. They love it too.
Oh. Interesting.
Did you imagine your grandkids come to your house and just take your dog's bed? And they're like, this is out.
I am going to rub it all over my face because I'm so hot. What? The dog's butt is on that.
They didn't know it was like the cooling mat at first. They were just like, dog bed? No, you mean my bed. And so the grandparents were like, you know what? You should get your own. But like for Christmas, they unwrapped their very own dog bed.
For Christmas, you get a cooling pad. You know, when it's like 5 degrees outside.
Merry Christmas. You're going to love this in July. I'm thinking ahead for you, babe.
Speaking of dog beds, back when I used to work for Petco a long time ago, I always worked the truck shift, which was an overnight. It was a 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. shift. And so we'd unload the truck and then we would dump all the boxes out into shopping carts and then we'd go put stuff on the shelves. So that was my favorite shift of the whole week. And so it was just once a week and I loved it. Just like because I could put headphones in, I could listen to movies or whatever, or listen, I guess I could listen to music, but I always chose movies anyway. And it was very brainless. You just sat there, you'd put the price tag on it, put it on the shelf, put the price tag shelf. And it was so easy. One thing that we used to do that I loved was when it was break time, everyone would go grab the big orthopedic dog beds and lay them on the floor and we would take our break just lounging on dog beds. It was so comfy.
Now, I know that some people get like toddler mattresses for like their Great Danes and stuff. So I guess it's only fair that you can also use your dog bed for your kid.
Yeah. Now, I will say I would never lay on my dog's bed currently. Like she lays on my bed, but I would never lay on her bed. First of all, not big enough. It's a small dog bed. I'm a person. But also it smells like her. Hey, even Chetney, he's my allergy boy.
Yeah.
It's just work. Like, I'll hug him. He'll sit on my lap, you know, and that's all fine and good. I would never stick my face in his pillow. Never.
Mm-mm. It just feels like you're asking for a battle with a skin problem you're not ready for. I don't know.
Yeah. Your face is breaking out. Why? I don't know. I was, you know, massaging my face with my dog's cooling mat. Okay.
I don't know. But it was such a good quality. The dogs are happy they have their bed back. The kids are happy now they got it for Christmas or whatever. So,
I mean, that's a pretty decent review. If I write a review like that on a product, it would make me more likely to buy that product.
For your grandkids?
Yeah, sure.
I've been struggling what I was going to get my nieces this year. I think I'm going to get them dog cooling mats.
There you go. I got my niece a baby shark bath toy. Oh, mine's 2.5.
Yeah, no. They are 16 and whatnot. And if I got your ages wrong, my bad. I'm a terrible aunt. They do listen sometimes. If that wasn't your age, maybe it was your sister's. Huh? Anyway. So I don't think they would use the cooling mat as a... Maybe they'll just turn it into like a pillow, a cooling pillow. So we'll see.
Hmm. How thick is it? Is it like a bed, like a pillow?
It doesn't look very thick.
Oh, that looks thicker than what I remember. When I was at Petco, they had cooling mats, but they were very thin. They were actual like mats, not like pillows or beds.
It doesn't look the thickest, so I think you could ball it up into a nice pillow.
Mm. Gotcha.
Keep your ear nice and cool while you sleep.
Just your ear, nothing else. Mm-hmm. Must be a small mat.
Yeah, sometimes your ear gets cold and you gotta cool it down.
Did you mean sometimes your ear gets hot?
Yes. That's not what I said. That's what I meant.
You know, sometimes when you're cold, you just need to be colder.
So it's in reference to, there's this show I really enjoy. It's a British comedy called The IT Crowd. And on their pilot episode, Moss, who is like the nerdy guy with his corduroys pulled up real high and his like tie tucked into him. Oh my gosh. So funny. But anyway, when he gets nervous, he's like, oh, my ear's hot. And he pulls out like a spray bottle of water and like sprays his ear. And he's like, ah, oh, that's it. Only happened in that first episode, but
that sounds so annoying. I cannot stand, like, after I shower, you know, like sometimes there's water in your ears and stuff. I gotta clean it out. I do not like the feeling of water on my skin. If I wash my hands, they have got to be immediately super dry, bone dry, everything. I do not like to have water on my skin. I find it so annoying. A water bottle to the ear sounds terrible.
One little sprit to cool it down real quick.
Oh, no. Oh, I hate that. Fully hate it.
I highly recommend the show. It's one of my favorites. I reference it regularly in my everyday life. So,
is it a comedy?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. What's it on?
I don't know where you would find it. I bought all the seasons so that I can watch it forever.
Oh, okay.
But I know it was streaming, which is how I originally found it, on Netflix, though.
Okay. I might check that out. I like to giggle.
You'll recognize some of the people in there. They've, What We Do in the Shadows, have you seen?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, then this is not going to be helpful for you. One of the vampires on there is from IT Crowd.
It is that time again, pet friends. Time for a quick break from the fun. Don't worry, your hosts will be back shortly.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Well, I went and looked up some laws about leaving animals unattended in hot cars. Oh. So, according to Michigan State University College of Law, there are 32 U.S. states that have laws that either prohibit leaving an animal in a confined vehicle under dangerous conditions. They provide civil immunity, which is protection from being sued, for a person who rescues a distressed animal from a vehicle. Most of these laws really will only apply if the animal is confined in a car or unattended in a car. And for a person to actually break the law, the conditions have to endanger the animal's life. So some of the statutes have to do with extreme hot or extreme cold temperatures. Some of them are lack of ventilation, failing to provide appropriate food and water. And then there are other laws that say the conditions have to pose an imminent threat to the animal's life or safety. So there's a bit of wiggle room state to state. There are some states also that only cover dogs and cats, while there are other states that will define animal more broadly. So there's a lot of differences and nuance in these laws. Here in Florida, this law applies to any domesticated animal. So dogs and cats, of course, but then like any animal that's kept as a household pet. It does not apply to livestock or farm animals, is what it said. It didn't say anything about gators. So if you have a gator for a pet, you know, my chickens won't count, but that pet gator might. So
I think a pet gator should. Yeah. It could totally count.
he definitely needs water. So if he's in a hot car with no water, like, that's imminent danger.
Yep.
States that have laws like these, they typically will allow for the rescue of the animal, which can mean breaking into the car. And there are some states that limit that type of rescue to like law enforcement, firefighters, animal control, first responder, that kind of position. There are 14 states that have enacted laws that allow any person to rescue a distressed animal. These laws function to limit the liability of the person doing the rescuing for the damages that they cause breaking into the car.
I like that a lot more. I would prefer to call help.
Yeah. Indiana is the first and only state right now to require the person who forcibly enters a car to rescue an animal to also pay half the damages. When I first read that, I did not like that. But the more I think about it, if I was a petty person and I wanted to rescue an animal from a car, I might not take care to only do what is necessary to get the animal out. But I think that law definitely keeps a would-be rescuer, kind of keeps it in mind for them to not go overboard, you know, especially if that person is prone to want to give justice. So I can see both ways. West Virginia and New Jersey are the only states that criminalize the act of leaving a pet unattended in dangerous conditions, but they don't provide rescue provision at all. Those two states. Hmm. I thought that was really interesting to have one and not the other. But most of the laws that are set up for people who want to rescue a pet from a hot car, it requires them to follow a number of steps. The first step is to ensure that the vehicle is locked, and breaking in is the only way to rescue the animal, which is good because if you can just open the door, it's better than breaking a window.
Right.
The person might be required to first call 911 or the local law enforcement before touching the car. The law might require that a note is left indicating the safe location of the animal, or that the person remains on scene until law enforcement or first responders arrive. And then you can't do any more damage to the car than is strictly necessary for the rescue. And lastly, you have to wait with the animal near the damaged vehicle for law enforcement to arrive.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. What if you don't have a leash? Like, how are you supposed to keep the animal near, like, and it's a big dog?
I guess you have to hold it. Take your belt off. Use your belt as a makeshift leash.
I've seen worse. I've seen USB cords. You never know.
Really?
I haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, if the dog doesn't have a collar or something that you can hold on to, like, I get that. You know, you do what you have to. So Florida law states that a person who enters a car for the purpose of removing an animal is immune from civil liability for damage, but only if the person follows all of those steps. So each state has their own set of laws about this circumstance. And I'm sure there are different laws in other countries as well. And I definitely recommend to look up the laws in your own area to find out if you ever need to rescue an animal from a hot car, then you know what the steps to keep yourself safe as well, so that you're not liable for anything in that situation.
Yeah. Email us your laws. Come talk to us.
Yeah.
You know, like, come reach out to us on social media or email. I'm curious to see what your laws are and how they're different from ours.
Me too. I didn't look up anything outside of the U.S., but if there are laws in other countries, I wonder if they're similar or if there's a big difference. Like, I have a friend who grew up in Germany, and she said dogs are not allowed, legally not allowed to be in crates in Germany. I don't know if that's still the law, but she grew up in the 90s, so it could have changed. But I remember her telling me about that, and I was just like, really? What do you do, like, when you leave the house? Because if I leave either of these monsters uncrated, they eat everything. And it's not like I can close in my bedroom, because I've got, like, chapstick that they can eat. Sometimes they eat my glasses. Sometimes they eat cords. They'll eat anything, you know?
I'm very lucky that my dogs don't do that. They were crated as puppies. As they got older, they got released longer and longer unattended outside the crate, and now they just leave out all day till I come home. So
that's so nice. Sam used to be uncrated most of her life, but when I moved here, when I started working those really long hours, like the surgery days that would be 15, 17 hour long days, first of all, I hated leaving her at home alone because she had to potty. What was she going to do? But what I really minded was when she got hungry because no one was home to feed her. And that's when she ate the 3 dozen macadamia nut cookies.
Right.
She cannot go uncrated anymore. And she doesn't care. She's old now. Shouldn't have a whole lot of energy. So when she's in her crate, she just sleeps the whole time, which is fantastic. But if she's not in her crate, girl gets busy. And I am definitely curious for our listeners who are not in the U.S., what your laws are about that kind of thing. Because penalties for leaving an animal unattended in a car under dangerous conditions here in the U.S., they vary state to state. A few states make it an immediate fine. Some states assign a misdemeanor penalty. The fines can range from a couple $100s to thousands of dollars. Some list possible jail time or even imprisonment. New Hampshire makes the second conviction into a felony offense. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, like if you have your pet in the car and you just need to run into Piggly Wiggly, like, bro, just don't do it. Leave your pet at home.
Yeah, don't take them into the Piggly Wiggly parking lot. So our next review is from whom?
Louis Chevrolet.
Okay. This product is called the Dyson Dog Car Net Barrier Pet Barrier with Auto Safety Mesh Organizer Baby Stretchable Storage Bag Universal for Cars, SUVs, Easy Install Car Divider.
That's a long title. And car divider.
Basically the net that you put between your driver and passenger seat to keep them in the back. It works well for unruly children and dogs.
I think the title of that product is bigger than the product itself.
Yeah. But if you have an unruly toddler in your car and you don't want them to crawl through to the front seats and jump over it like a wild maniac, I think this is a good alternative.
But then you can't do what they did in the 90s, which is when your kids are messing around in the back, you take that fly swatter and whack them.
Oh, no, my dad brake checked us.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. I mean, maybe it's not. I hope you had your seatbelt on.
No. The Nazis. No. You learn to act right after you bounce your head off the seat in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then later on, we wore seatbelts. So.
When the seatbelt laws came into practice, then we wore a seatbelt.
Yeah, and we did. All right, so this is a 1 star from Louie. Terrible quality. Do not buy this. As soon as we put it on, not even 5 minutes in, the buckle snapped and hit my dog in the eye. Now he's severely hurt. This is a POS quality item. I am beyond frustrated.
Aw, bring us your doggy. We'll take care of his eye.
Yeah, he got popped in the eye by his seat safener. Fastener. Seat fastener?
Yeah. A seat safener?
He got the buffed in the eye by the safety net. Kind of like how my dad used to brace check us. Your dog got a safety belt to the eye. I'm sorry for your dog. I hope his eye is fine. That stinks. Could you imagine?
Yeah, that.
You're like, all right, this will keep you from this front seat. And then next thing you know, there's like the sound effects of the cartoon where it's like, boing, and it bounces up.
Like, here, this will keep you safe so you don't get hurt. Click, click, click. And then suddenly like, pop, bam.
Yeah.
That did not keep him safe. He did not get hurt.
In that case, you might as well just let him be in the front seat.
Yeah. Did you put that video up on our TikTok of like, I parked my car one night and I was just like, and here's how Sam is. And then Sam was like over the front of the seat, perching like a parrot.
Here's the thing. I haven't posted anything on our TikTok in a while. I really wish we had some help managing social. I do have it in my list of lineup to get to. I haven't even posted any sound bites for our last episodes. I am terrible at keeping up with social media.
Okay. It was very funny. She likes to do that. I don't like it when she does that. But we were already home. She gets really excited when we pull into the drive. And so she starts perching like a parrot. It's very cute.
Yeah. When my dog was a puppy, my girl dog, I let her ride in the front seat a few times, but she would bark at the people on the corner. And it was really embarrassing. Rude. So I started putting her in the back seat and she didn't do it as much. I guess she didn't feel as protective, but there is nothing more awkward than when you're at a red light and your dog is going ham at some poor homeless person or unhoused person. I thought of what you put the call in now, unhoused person on the corner, and your dog's just like, oh. And so then she got privileged. So.
Are you familiar with the Dungeon Crawler Carl series? It's a book series. It's lit RPG. It is phenomenal. There's a headless doll character. It's actually just the head and not the rest of the body, but she floats around, and when she doesn't like something, she just starts shouting, and her thing is like, I will kill your mother. It's all you. That's
a lot.
That's like what I hear in my head when my dogs like start barking at random people on this, like for no reason. They're not even near the car. My dogs just see people walking like on the sidewalk outside, and they
say, oh, you could be his.
Yeah, exactly. Don't tell me what to do. I'll kill your mother. Get away from my car.
Almost like my dog has some mental issues I didn't know about. Oh, no. I'm real sorry about your dog. I hope it's all better. If not,
that's a bummer.
Holler at Echo.
Yep. Come and see us at the eye clinic. We take care of your dog. So there was an article published in 2020. About heat stroke in dogs in the UK. That is the largest primary care study worldwide to deconstruct and explain heat-related illness triggers in companion dogs. I looked for one in the US, but this one was the biggest one worldwide. So I thought this would probably be a good one to look at. And I do want to say, like, heat-related illness and heat stroke are not the same thing. Heat stroke is one of the heat-related illnesses. So a heat-related illness covers a lot of sicknesses that develop due to excessive heat, whether it's outside or the body itself is just too hot. This study looked at over 900,000 case studies, and it determined that exercise was the most common trigger of heat-related illness. This study found that heat stroke caused by exercise was just as likely to kill an animal as heat stroke from a hot car. In general, if you get that far or your pet gets that far and they get actual heat stroke, it can be quite fatal. So this study found that male dogs and younger dogs were more likely to develop heat-related illnesses triggered by exercise, and that older dogs and flat-faced dogs were at greater risk of developing heat-related illness just by sitting outside in the hot weather. So the study makes a comparison to human studies of heat-related illness, quoting that heat-related illness due to exertion, which is exercise, is the third leading cause of death in U.S. high school athletes, which I thought was crazy. I did not realize that that was a thing. And the incidence of heat-related illnesses in the U.S. armed forces has been gradually increasing since 2014.
I can see that. I think that I've probably been more aware of heat-related illnesses in people than in animals, even given my line of work. We've had owners come in that we've had to sit down and get water and cool down because they were on the verge of passing out because of the weather.
Wow.
And that was just trying to get rid of the building, you know?
I don't think I've ever experienced that exactly. But, I mean, the risk factors really for humans are quite similar to the risk factors for dogs. And the biggest struggle here is the amount of published evidence for heat-related illness in dogs is pretty limited. So there's a lot more room for research to be done there. Older dogs are more likely to have some kind of underlying health condition, like heart disease or something similar, that make the regulation of body temperature more difficult. So heat can be more dangerous for our dogs as they age. And short-faced dogs with brachycephalic obstructive airway syndrome will also have a really hard time regulating body temperature in the heat. And I know we've covered that a little bit in our episode about purebred versus mixed breed dogs, but we'll review a little bit more of that later as well. This study also found that obesity is a significant risk factor for death in dogs that have heat-related illnesses.
Oh, well, that sounds like a hot time. Yeah, it's a hot time.
Obesity is a very hot topic.
Yes, we are aware of that. Do you have another name for?
I do. This one is going to be David Dunbar Buick.
What?
David Dunbar Buick.
Okay. Oh, good old Buick. This is for a product. It is a car seat cover with an extender. So it lays over your car seat and like covers the gap so that your dog doesn't fall in, kind of like the hammock, but like a sturdy thing. And it also have one to keep them from on up your doors. It is a 1-star from Mr. Buick.
Oh no.
Dumb product. That's the name of the review. And then he continues with terrible product. So dumb and terrible. No instructions of how to put it together. Does not show up on Amazon after it's been delivered. The instructions that come with it are for baby diaper paraphernalia. Just plain dumb.
What?
I don't know.
Baby diaper paraphernalia?
Yeah, what does that mean? I thought paraphernalia was like in regards to like the paraphernalia that people use to smoke drugs.
Paraphernalia it's like things that are associated with a specific activity or the hobby or something. You know, like groomer paraphernalia is going to be your clippers, your shears set.
So it's not just drug related. I've only ever heard it in regard to like, and that he was found with the drug paraphernalia. And then we were like, oh, okay. So he had a pipe on him.
It could be something like that, but it is not exclusive to drugs. Anything can have paraphernalia.
So what is a diaper paraphernalia then? Like,
that is a great question. Must be diapers, baby wipes, maybe baby powder, maybe some of the rash cream, maybe some of the liners for those. What do you call those, like diaper genies, you know?
Why did they send him the directions for baby wipes instead of the directions for constant cover?
I don't know.
If you a baby changing table instead of the car seat cover.
I don't see a connection. I have no idea. That makes no sense to me. No.
And I really was hoping that if I read this one to you, you could open it up for me and explain it better. But instead, we're just both lost. So.
I have no idea.
No.
I don't know if I've ever bought a product and then had the instructions for that product be something totally different. I could see that happening, especially if you shop the Amazon refurbished. No, that's not right. Amazon repurposed. There's an option on Amazon where you can purchase items that people have returned so they're less expensive. I never do it because it makes me worried that there's something's missing.
You're going to get paraphernalia. Sure. Yeah.
I'm going to get baby diaper paraphernalia. Yeah.
Any paraphernalia. It's possible. In Florida. Yeah. You don't want the Florida paraphernalia. I don't really know what happened there. But anyway, sorry for you, Mr. Buick.
Yeah. Well, this UK study found that 30% of dogs with heat-related illnesses did not have a recorded cause. This is suspected to be due to some cases needing immediate emergency care, which resulted in clinical notes not being recorded at the time of presentation, or possibly some owners that didn't like know what was going on. Like they didn't recognize the sign. So that's entirely possible. But we've said this before, but like it is so, 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 so important to tell your vet as much as possible, like the truth of what actually happened. Like, we're not there to judge you. We just want to help your pet, you know? And the very best way that we can do that is if we know what actually happened. So of the other cases that stated causes in the clinical history, a whopping 74.2% of dogs presented with heat-related illness, it happened after exercise. Only 12.9% of those dogs presented with heat-related illness due to their environment. 5.2% presented after being in a hot car. So very few. There were a couple of others, like 4.6% of those dogs presented after getting worked up at a vet's office or a groomer. 2.7% presented after being in a hot building. And 0.5% presented after being trapped in blankets. I never really thought about those as being issues for heat-related illness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Trapped in blankets, especially. That one had me going, what?
I don't know how that happened.
My best thought would be like a small dog that they don't get warm very easily. Like maybe, you know, they like to sleep under blankets or something and they were sleeping, so they didn't really recognize how hot it was getting. I don't know. That was my only thought.
That's weird.
Yeah. The greatest triggers for the exercise related heat illness in this study were going for walks in the heat or like running or running beside an owner that was cycling, playtime, and a very small percentage occurred after canine competitions.
Yeah. So another thing that you should probably keep in mind if you are trying to walk your dog in the heat, if that asphalt or the ground you're walking on is too hot for your feet, it is also too hot for their feet. You could cause massive damage to their paw pads. It could be uncomfortable for them. And plus, you know, especially if you have a dark colored dog, that sun just radiates to them and you're going to heat them up a lot faster. So it may just seem like a walk around the block. It's too hot out for that. And you're putting their respiratory system in a lot of distress. And you might be burning up their little paw pads. I think some dogs have more sensitive paw pads than others because they don't walk out on the asphalt very often, so they get the soft paw pads. Mm-hmm.
That is a very good point. Of all the listed reasons for heat stroke in this study, 7.6% of dogs that presented after exercise died. And dogs that presented for environmental reasons, undergoing treatment in a vet's office or at a groomer, and vehicular confinement each had about 10% fatality. So like the majority, like 3/4 of dogs that presented with heat related illness was due to exercise, but it was a few of the other reasons that had higher percentages of fatality. Also, unsurprisingly, within the cases in this study, over a third of these cases occurred in July. And there's a ton more information in that article, you know, including a lot of comparisons between breeds, age, sex. Like, there's a ton of them. So, and I just barely scratched the surface here, but there's a lot more reading you can do if you'd like more information on all of this.
Okay. So, let us do another review. Be with.
You sound like me as I'm trying to like clear my sinuses before recording.
I was actually doing my best impersonation of you. Yeah.
Spot on. Should I say snot on?
Please don't say that. Who is this review from?
This one is Walter Chrysler.
Walter? We haven't had a Walter. All right. It is a 1-star review for a product called BYGD Bidged.
BYGD?
Bidged.
Yeah. Bidged. Yeah. Okay.
That's what I'm going to call it. Pet dog booster seat with upgrade support rod. Breathable and foldable pet car basket.
Okay.
It is...
Oh, it's cute.
Yeah.
I like that. What's the support rod?
I don't know. I'm scared to know. So, it is a 1-star review. If you live in a high heat climate, do not buy. So, we are in a high heat climate. I've had this car seat for 2 days before it started to warp. It doesn't need... It doesn't need to be left in the sun for it to be damaged. Just exposed to high temperatures. Then it will 100% warp. The space available for my puppy is now much smaller. So it melted in high temperature.
That's interesting. That must be made of plastic?
I guess that's what the support rod is.
The support rod failed us. It supported nothing except my own disappointment.
So like the car seat warped and like shrunk after a few days of being out in his car.
Interesting gigs. I want to know if he had a picture with his review.
He did not. Should have, though. That would have been interesting to see.
Yeah, I would have been interested to see what that ended up looking like.
Just a mangled mess of black paw print material. And like this dog that is in, it's like a kangaroo pouch now because it's so shrunk down and he's just like...
Yeah, that's a good review.
Only if you're a northerner, buy this car seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you are in the south and you're looking for a good, reliable car seat, Google ones that won't melt.
I have never considered, you know, a product like that melting. I mean, I guess I should have, because that definitely happens, but...
Right. So back, I guess about 20 years ago when I was working in kennels, I bought my first pair of Crocs. And that was when Crocs became introduced to the market. Maybe it wasn't 20 years ago. Maybe it was 15. Anyway, when Crocs first started hitting the market, I bought a pair of light blue ones. And they smelled like cheese. I hated them. But anyway...
Cheese? What kind of cheese?
Like cheese. And that was probably more of a me thing than the Croc thing. But you got to think, because you're not wearing like a sock and a Croc. Oh, I like that. Sock and Croc. So you just wind up with sweaty feet in a rubber shoe. But anyway, I used to leave them in my car on the back dash, because it was like a Grand Marquis, so you don't, not like our SUVs, the trunk was actually not connected, and so when you had the back seat, you had that little like back dashboard that people would put like babies and things in.
Goodness, my brain just went back to 1996.
And I went to dig them out to put them on for work after like a weekend of leaving them in my car. So I go Monday morning to slip my shoes on at work, and they shrunk in the window of my car.
Oh, you know what? Oh, your thing grew excessively.
Yeah.
I have a pair of Crocs, but they don't look like the regular Crocs. They're like the kinds that are supposed to look like dress shoes. They kind of look like ballet flats, but they're Crocs. I use them. I walk around, you know, with the chickens, you know, because they're just easy to slip on, go outside. But I get very dirty when I take care of the chickens. There's just dirt and a lot of chicken poop everywhere. So I usually hose down my legs and my shoes, and then I leave my shoes to dry in the sun. I cannot do that with my Crocs, because when I leave them to dry in the sun, they do actually shrink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I, just to put on the record, I will never put another pair of Crocs on my feet again. It was a weird phase I went into. I'm glad that I had that experience, because I like real shoes now. I think Crocs are a terrible idea. So I'm sorry for everybody out there who enjoys them, but they're not for me.
Hmm. I do like the ones I have. They're cute.
I'm talking about the old-fashioned cheese grater, like the ones that look like Swiss cheese. Right.
When you said they smelled like cheese, I immediately was just like, Limburger? Or like, what kind of cheese?
Sweaty cheese. And so the ones that are... They're wholly like Swiss cheese themselves. Like, I have a lot of cheese analogies when it comes to rock, but the ones that have the holes in them, I hate those with a fiery passion. I don't care if you put charms in there to like try to make them cuter or more personalized. They're just, I don't know. I guess maybe when mine shrunk in the car, it also shrunk my heart. You know, I just don't have any feelings towards them anymore. All right. Well, looks like this is going to be a two-parter this week. We have so much information to share and not enough time to share it in. But we love two-parters, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to come back next week, next couple weeks, the next week-ish of the, you know, next time. Yeah. This is Nessie diving back into the depths. Keep your pets cool, your ice cream colder, and remember, I am a myth, but heat stroke isn't.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Dogs in hot cars. Dogs in hot cars. Hey, people. Do you not know that dogs can die? Dog in hot car. I see a dog.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.